Whenever the sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing with the evening come. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, I worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I will worship Your holy name. And Your rich in love, and You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. And bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, I'm gonna worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I will worship Your holy name. And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, I'm gonna worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I will worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. And sing like never before, O my soul, I will worship Your holy name. Yes, I will worship His holy name. Oh, I will worship Your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little song together. And let's just worship for a little while. Invite Him into our presence. Amen. That He may minister to our lives today. Welcome, Holy Spirit, be here with Your presence, fill us with Your power, live inside of me. Welcome, Holy Spirit, now, welcome, Holy Spirit, be here with Your presence, fill us with Your power now, live inside of me. Cause You're the living water, oh, never dry and foul. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Fill us with your power. Live inside of me. Once again, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Yes, fill us now. Oh, sing it to him, church. Live inside of me. Cause you're the living waters now. Living water, ever drying. Oh yes, Comforter and Counselor, take complete control. Welcome, Holy Spirit. With your presence, yes, fill us with your power. Oh, yes, 'cause he's the living waters now. Yeah, ever drying fountain. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Fill us with your power. Live inside of me. Let's sing this song, Healing is Here. Healing is here. Healing is here. Healing is here. Yes, and I believe it. Yes, healing is here. My hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. Unto you, my rock, my healer, I trust in you. Believe it, church. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Yes, and I receive it. So I reach my hands, church. Yes, to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. Unto you,
my rock, my healer. I trust in you. So I reach my hands now. Well, I reach my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. Unto you, my rock, my healer, I trust in you. Oh, Jesus is here. Yes, yes, Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. And I believe it. Well, Jesus is here. Just worship him now. Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. Oh, and I receive him. So I reach my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. Unto you, my rock, my healer, I trust in you. We reach our hands now. So I reach my hand to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. Unto you, my rock, my healer, I trust in you. I trust in you.
Amen. Let's sing one more before we take our needs to the Lord. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Marvelous forward, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom, and who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. Well, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe. All right, lift it up now. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe. Come on, sing it one more time, church. Oh, oh yes.
So lovely, church. Let's sing it to him. Lift him up now. Will I stand? I stand in all of you, Jesus. We stand. Oh, we stand in all of you. Oh, we go to who all praises due. I stand in all.
Could you give him a hand of praise tonight? Hallelujah. I stand in awe of my God, don't you? Glory be to Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Sam Britton if he would take the special needs of our Lord or to the Lord tonight. Amen. We have some folks not with us today, and we would like to remember them in prayer. If you would remember Sister Karen Buchanan in your prayers. Amen. Also, Brother Kingston, not with us today, traveling, if you'd remember him in prayer. The Knobloch family, requesting prayer for them. Sister Tracy Raven, Hughes family, certainly remembering Brother Keith Buchanan. It was so good to see him today playing on the organ. I know that was very tiring for him, but, man, what a blessing it was to have him with us. I remember the Whitlocks in your prayer, not with us right at this time. Remembering the Drum family, Smith family, Sister Shirley Buchanan, the Parks family, Brother Daniel and Sister Florence, and also Sister Simona Walters is traveling. Amen. So a lot of folks, we just want to remember them in prayer. God would be with them, whatever their need is. Do you have unspoken needs? Are they uplifted hand? Amen. Let's pray together.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here, Father. Yes. Lord, I love you more now than I ever have. Father, I ask you, Lord, for all these requests, Lord, that were mentioned, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, for being a God that's alive, Lord. Lord, that, Lord, hears our prayers. Lord, that comforts us, Lord, when we're weak, Lord. Lord, I ask you for Brother Keith. Lord, I ask you to touch his body. Lord, that you would restore him, Lord, 100%, Lord. Lord, that's been our prayer, Lord. Lord, we're asking the great physician, Lord, that's you, Lord, to go be with him, Lord. Lord, the ones that are traveling, Father, Lord, just be with them on the road, Lord. Keep them safe. Lord, the ones that couldn't be here for whatever reason, Lord, just be with them. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, for the remainder of this service, Lord, as the word comes forth. Lord, just thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, it's been such a great help, Lord. Lord, just to hear your word. Father, once again, thank you, Lord, for everything, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Sam. God bless you. You may have your seats. We have a special and from Sister Grace Brown again. What a beautiful song that was this morning, Sister. Thank you for that. And we're just going to sing this little song here. And again, as we're finishing that up, if you'd like to come forward. What a wonderful name it is. That's a beautiful song. Amen. Let's continue singing that. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. naked in glory in creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. Oh, what could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name. The name of death cannot hold us. God holds you. The veil tore before you. Cleanse the boast of sin and grave. Well, the heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. Sing it again. Well, death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. Well, the heavens are roaring. Praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and forever our God reigns. And yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Oh, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
I have nothing. here on the earth, and let it glorify all that you are worth. 'Cause I am nothing, oh Lord, I'm nothing without you.
Beautiful song. If our deacons would come forward at this time, we're going to take up our offering. And we'll sing that song just before our pastor takes over and brother comes to minister tonight, just anticipating what the word has in store. Let's sing that song, Speak the Name of Jesus, Sister Andrew. Brother Ethan.
Lord, we thank you for this time here. Lord, we just ask that you come down and speak to every heart. Lord, just speak to the minister, to everyone. Just bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ethan. Let's sing this together tonight. Well, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every shadows, burn like the fire. Yes, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Every soul held captive by depression, oh, I speak Jesus. Oh, your name is power. Oh, your name is healing. Your name. out, Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness. Come on, speak it over that enemy, church. Yes, Jesus for my family, will I speak the holy name of Jesus? Yes, Lord, shout Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every... Oh, don't let it hold you now. Jesus for my family, oh, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Oh, yes, 'cause your name is power. Sing that again. Oh yes, 'cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Oh, break it now. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Hallelujah. Say, God is good. All the time. God is good. You may be seated tonight just for a moment, and we're not going to prolong things. We're going to turn it over to our brother Andrew. And just wanted to give you a couple of special prayer requests here very quickly tonight. We want to remember Brother Malachi Lucas in Tanzania, and just trust that the Lord will undertake for him. Arne is not here tonight. And we want to remember him not feeling well. Brother Michael Shadell is not here. He's traveling overseas, and he wished to be remembered to everyone. We have Brother John James down there on crutches. And Brother John, we're going to be praying for you that the Lord will restore you and make you well. We also, we've been mentioning Sister Lori Snow out in Everett, Washington, and she had the ruptured aorta. The doctors shake their heads still at the fact that she recovered. Most people don't. And she is still not out of the woods. She has some complications that are not resolved. And there's some special prayer requests in there, and I won't go into all of them. But if you could remember Sister Lori, that would be wonderful. I would like to say this afternoon, even though we have a lot of folks missing this weekend, it's a holiday weekend, and I understand that, and some folks that are not well. I'd like to say it's been just a blessing to be here, and I would like to say a special thank you to Sister Angie and Sister Kim and your crew for putting on a lovely lunch today, and may God bless you both, and we appreciate you very much. We appreciate those young ladies heading up the work crew and getting everything done. Also, as well, I came in the fellowship hall yesterday afternoon, and I just was amazed at the beautiful smell that was there. Now, you may have not have gotten that because the fellowship hall has been used here, but Sister Keisha and Ashley and your crew in helping decorate, we appreciate that very much. May God bless you Appreciate that. We never, ever, ever want to take for granted our tech crew and the work they do. And Jeremy, thank you, and your crew down there. Appreciate it very much. And I've really enjoyed the music and the song leading and the specials this weekend. It's just been a blessing. And the choir, let's give all of them a round of applause tonight. It's been exceptional. If you got this much of a preacher in you, you'd be able to preach in this atmosphere, you know, after these song services here. We also want to welcome the hundreds of people who are streaming tonight. They're streaming around the U.S. We have people from Canada. We have people from Ireland. We have people from the Philippines. We have people from England. We have people from Canada. And we have people from... What did I say?
You said it twice.
Canada? They're special. You should know that. We have people from the nation of Eswatini, which is formerly Swaziland. And they popped up on the list there tonight, and we welcome all of them. And there is one from New Zealand. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I'm looking forward to the word tonight. But you know, I had emails and some texts from brothers who wrote me and said, you're having Brother Andrew Murray come for the weekend? And I said, yeah. And they said, hello. Can you send him our way after you're done? And I said, no, he's got to get home. Rachel's going to stay, but they've got to get home. And they said, "I said, wow, we just would love to have Brother Andrew come." And I always refer to Brother Andrew when he's not around as the bride's best kept secret, and just been a blessing to us to the point where this is something rare that we do, but we'd like to present Brother Andrew the hickory hat. Brother Andrew, come on up here. This is a special coveted gift. God bless you, my brother. That's a privilege. Not many people get to wear that one. You can wear it when you're preaching tonight. It's all right. We'll give you a license to do that. We appreciate Brother Andrew and his sacrifice and Rachel and Benjamin coming along as well. Someday he's going to bring his wife over and be here. And their fourth son, the third son, fourth child. Let's sing. Tonight, we're going to turn it over to Brother Andrew, and we're just going to pull on the gift tonight, because God has something to say for us in every gathering of his people, in every gathering. Have your way. Let's sing that this evening, and we'll just turn it right to Brother Andrew. Have your way.
Our desire this evening that he might have his way. It's been a great blessing to be with you, saints. We really feel at home here, I've got to say that. There's some places you don't feel so at home, but you're lovely people and it's a lovely church. I really have been blessed being here. I know my children as well. I'm sure they agree with me. Great place to come back. So we thank the Lord. Brother Barry has been a real mentor and a friend, and I appreciate him so much. And the song worship, the items, everything. It's been a very, very special time. I've been greatly inspired. So we do appreciate it all. I realize food is here. Blood is here. So we're not going to preach about the paradox of the seventh seal or something like that. We'll preach like my good friend, brother, late George Martin used to say, we'll preach the message of the hour today. You know, we'll really keep it to a good time. We don't want to take too long. So let's just get one more thought before we go. So we'll really give it a punch. I'm sure you can shake yourself for 1 hour. We'll be finished. May the Lord help us. Let's open Numbers chapter 16. We just got a thought, not going to use any slides, just one picture on the next slide after this one. But you're looking at standing in the gap. That's going to be our thought. Maybe just the prophet and the priesthood, just to get a bit of a something maybe the Lord can give us to take away. So that is Numbers chapter 16 from verse 41. We'll just read the scripture. It's the only scripture we'll read from 41 up to 50. Just a refresher to those who are not familiar with the story, haven't read it for some time. But it was the time when Dathan, Abram, Korah came against Moses, and the 250 priests had been judged by the Lord with fire. It was a really, really difficult time. And then the people gathered themselves together against Aaron and against Moses, wanting to take the priesthood away from Aaron. You know, it was a very difficult time. And verse 41, and on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you've killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. So these people are coming, the great multitudes coming against Moses and Aaron, and they're standing by the tabernacle, and the cloud, pillar of cloud that was above just comes and overshadows the tabernacle, like the Lord saying, I'm watching over this place. And Moses and Aaron, they start to sense that something's taking place. Verse 44, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell on their faces. Now that's intercession. Now they fell on their faces before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, put on incense. Go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there's wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. May the Lord bless his word. Let's just pray. Father, please bless your word once again. Surely we've been blessed by your goodness, Father, in this place. Lord, the food, the fellowship, the worship, the items. Now, Father, help us to finish well is our desire. That you may go from this place, Lord, with your blessing in our souls, Father, that you may instruct us and guide us and lead us and bless your people. Every request that has been brought, Father, may you quicken, Lord, the answer to each and every one, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. So our thought is just going to be standing in the gap, speaking about the prophet and the priesthood, because that is what Moses and Aaron represent, obviously, is the prophet and the priesthood. Now, there's many types of Christ. We're in Easter time, and the greatest example, the supreme standing in the gap is Jesus. And whenever you find somebody standing in the gap, it's the Spirit of Christ that causes someone to stand in the gap, because it's the nature of God to stand in the gap. Whenever there's a division, whenever there's a breach, it might be in a relationship, it may be in whatever that it may be between you and the Lord, between you and other people, the Lord has shown so clearly in Scripture that he doesn't desire that. And if the Holy Ghost is given an opportunity to express himself, he'll always stand in the gap. He'll always try to bring things together. And we see that in this story. Now, there's many types of Christ in the Bible. You can go to Joseph, obviously such a perfect type of Christ. The whole ministry of Christ in Joseph. Moses was a type of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. But we find Aaron here is a real type of Christ as well, standing in the gap. You're standing between the living and the dead. He was a real type of Christ as the high priest, Christ our great high priest. But he also types the priesthood here. And we are priests, we're kings and priests. Now, we have been called to the sacred priesthood as believers. So Aaron would also type us here. And the conditions, when I have a look at this time that Aaron did this, for Aaron to be such a type of Christ, it was not a time that was conducive to anybody to do anything spiritual. Now, these people are wanting to tear him apart. You know, the atmosphere, gross darkness on the people. Plague had already begun among the people. It's a type of our age. You know, just the people were just not in line with the Lord. The people who were coming against the prophet, coming against the priesthood, they weren't happy with it. But something happened to Aaron. Aaron really got himself into the Spirit of Christ. And he went and he followed this divine impulse and he went and stood in the gap to make an atonement for the people. Now, in this chapter, you'll find judgment had already begun. Now, the prophet says we're living in the time of the investigating judgment. You know, it's that time between mercy and judgment. The judgments of God, he says, are already in the earth. We see the birth pains. We see the pestilences, the COVIDs and all of these kind of things. We see the wars taking place. We see the famine, economic crisis, instability. We can see already his judgments in a measure in the earth. But the scripture says that judgment is strange work to God. He doesn't delight in judgment. The Bible never says God delights in judgment. It says he delights in mercy. Because it's the nature of God. It's his divine nature to show forth mercy. Judgment is strange work to him. To be righteous, he has to judge. But in the midst of darkness, in the midst of judgment, generally speaking, until the line is crossed, you're always going to find there's a provision of mercy. And we see that here, that there was mercy in the time of judgment. I think sometimes we write off this everybody in the world too quickly as believers. I think we've just put ourselves in the bunker too much and we've said, hey, it's all hell out there. We're okay here. And I think we shouldn't make that mistake. There's times we really need to respond to the cry of the people. There's times we need to look beyond the barricades and see that there's a world outside of there that's perishing and that the only people that have the answer here, like Aaron, his age, is us. The priesthood in this age is the only one that has the token, has what it takes to withstand all these plagues and these things happening in the earth. Yes, I see that in the story here. And how did it start? First, the Lord spoke to Moses. You know, that's how it always works. The Lord speaks to his prophet. No, because the prophet sees judgment far off. There's many things the prophet spoke in the 1960s. You know, but he could see, he says in warning their judgment, he says, God raises the prophet up like an eagle and he sees the darkness coming and he cries out, gross darkness upon the people. It hasn't yet come and people are saying, but where's the darkness? Because he's seeing it prophetically that it's about to come. And that's what happened to Moses. Moses was the first one who saw there's going to be judgment upon the people. He heard from the Lord and he knew something needed to be done. And so what did he do? He ministered Aaron into the same channel of inspiration. And that's all Aaron had to do. He had to yield to the anointing. Now the Lord had spoken to Moses. Moses falls on his face. He knows something's got to be done for these people. They deserve judgment, but I also deserve judgment. And you know, he knew that, yeah, I forsook the people. I let them down for 40 years. And he says, we need somehow to display mercy to these people. Something's got to be done. So he starts to minister now to Aaron. And as the message ministers to Aaron, Aaron breaks right into this channel of Christ. And he becomes Christ to the people now. And he goes out and he runs in there between the people. It says it there. It says, first of all, God spoke to Moses. Then it says, and then Moses spoke to Aaron. And I think that's always the way that it goes. Yeah. There's nothing that can tune you into what you're supposed to be like the message of the hour. Now, for us to be in the frequency we're supposed to be in this age, it needs that anointing that's upon the message of the hour. Now, we may see things our own way, have our own ideas, but to feel for this age the way that God feels for this age, it needs the message of the hour. And like Jeremiah was a reflection of God in his age, he was a weeping prophet. And when the church really gets into the Spirit, we are a reflection of God in our age. We absolutely are. We show forth his feelings to the people in this age. And the great mistake we make, like the Lord said to the prophet, you've lost the feelings of the people. It's very easy with this kind of spiritual condition we're in. Now, when you see people with rainbow-colored hair and you see all these things out there and people so pierced with this, that, and the other that they better not go walk near a magnet because they'll be in trouble. No, you just see people with tattoos from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we just dismiss them so very quickly. The way the prophet did in that cafe that day when the policeman was standing there with his arm around that woman and she had her hair colored blue, whatever. And, you know, and there was drinking taking place and, you know, all the stuff that shouldn't have been done. And the prophet says, Lord, why don't you just wipe these people off the face of the earth? I don't know how you can stand it. And the Lord said, I need to speak to you a little bit. And then he broke into the channel and he saw the great high priest. Yeah, and he saw the sin coming up and the blood being the buffer. And each time sin would come up, Jesus would shake and, you know, and you'd feel the effects. And the prophet says, whose sin is that? And the Lord said, that's your sin that's doing that to him. And then he says, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. And Jesus in the vision took his finger and put his finger in his side and took the blood and said, pardoned. And he was forgiven. And then the Lord said, but I so freely forgave you, but you want to judge these people. And then when he actually went out and spoke to that lady and he went to her and said, sister, would you mind if I could speak to you? He said, look, I've already got company. You know, she was thinking of it in the wrong way. He says, no, I'd like to speak to you about your soul. And she says, oh, you Brother Branham. And says, yes. And her lips started to quiver and she started to cry. And said, Brother Branham, I'm so ashamed. I wanted to come down to the meeting, but I just didn't feel worthy to come. You know, I got away from the Lord. I was a Methodist. I backslid many years ago. Is there any hope for me? And then he told her the vision. And right there, they got on their knees in that shabby cafe, whatever it was. And he says, we had a prayer meeting there. And even the policeman took off his cap. And the Lord started to work in mercy. You know, it's amazing where you find the children of God. Yeah, but it's so easy to judge a book by its cover. It's so easy to fail to look beyond the veil. We went a certain place, I won't say recently, we went with some of our young people and these young people have grown up very, very secluded where they are. You know, they've never had much access to the world. Us in Dublin, we're in a pretty rough area. You know, there's some gangs and all this kind of stuff. So you'll see some pretty rough things. And these young people, they just didn't really understand. And my wife was speaking to them and she said to the one sister, they said, sister, one of these days, the Lord's going to really teach you about this. He's going to send you someone with tattoos from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And they're going to come to the altar in your church. And the Lord's going to teach you that, hey, he has his seed in the most unlikely of places. Now you're going to find a harlot in Jericho that's got a seed of God. Yeah, you're going to be really, really surprised that in the midst of gross darkness, he's still got his people out there. Yeah, and there's still mercy sometimes. We want to write things off. Like this, let God do the closing of the door. I think we shut the door far too long ago. Yeah, I think it wasn't such a good idea that we did. The one who opened the door is the only one who has the authority to close the door. Yeah, and there's judgments in the earth. But what was the real token, the evident token that mercy was still available? Was that Aaron was there. Aaron in the midst of the people was a sign that there was still mercy. And as long as the bride is still here, there's still mercy. Because Aaron was the link between the people, the perishing people, and the mercy seat. Because he was the high priest. He could go into the mercy seat. He could come out. So he was the one who was the link and the bridge. He was the hope. Jesus said, he who receives you receives me. Yeah. He who rejects you rejects me. And Aaron, just his presence on the scene was a sign of mercy right at that time. But what was needed was for Aaron to realize that. Now, Aaron had to get into the spirit of intercession, had to get into the spirit of it to actually go and stand in the gap. Yes. And I think the great, great weakness in the whole program, when God put us on free will, it's a great blessing, but the weakness is we have our own will. We don't have to get out there and pray for people. We don't have to pray for our lost relatives. No, we can just leave them. I know Brother Tommy McKinstry from Northern Ireland, his dad, he's passed away now. Brother Billy was a very fine man, and he came to me one day and said, Brother, the Lord wanted me to pray for somebody the other day, but I didn't want to pray for them. And I said, sometimes it's like that. We have a free will. But when somebody can overcome that, and sometimes it needs us to seek the spirit of forgiveness because people have done something to us. You know, like Job and his comforters. And the only way that person's going to find grace with God is that you're going to have to pray for them like with Job, but you're going to have to get the spirit of forgiveness first. Because our free will is a very, very strong force. That when mercy wants to go forth, sometimes we don't want to let the mercy go forth. But Aaron was a real, real surprise to me when I read this chapter, is how quickly he yielded himself to that anointing. He really yielded and he got into the spirit of the need of the hour. And that impulse struck him and he straight away responded to that impulse. And yeah, I asked myself why. Aaron here is an old man. I think he's 100, up, they say maybe up to 120 years old at this time. Imagine. He's a really, really old man. But you go and read in the scripture, it says Aaron ran into the midst of the people. That's not a usual thing to find, that an old man's going to go and run into the midst of people. And he didn't run into a congregation of saints while they were worshiping. He ran into the midst of a seething mob of people that were angry against God, angry against the message, and angry that Moses had appointed Aaron as the high priest. It wasn't a conducive situation at all. But he was so Christ-like the way that he responded. He wasn't willing to hold the transgressions of people against him. There was much he personally could have held against them. They were trying to strip him of his position. They had an issue with him. But when a man or woman gets into the spirit of Christ, it's like when Christ was standing in the gap on the cross. It was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, I love that about Jesus. The spirit of Christ, Paul says, that love will always find the best in a situation. Now, love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love will always try to find some sort of an extenuating circumstance. When Jesus is on the cross and he has these people gambling for his garments, maybe they're drunken soldiers, they've nailed his hands, they've nailed his feet. And he has all of these blinded people and all the things that they've done to him. But him always being in the spirit of redemption, even on the cross, he was trying to find something that he could plead on behalf of the people. And in the end, when he examined everything about them, there's only one thing he could find. They don't know what they're doing. And he took a hold of that one extenuating circumstance and he took that and said, Father, I'm going to use this. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. And I'm sure in any relationship we have and any people that have offended us, people that have done evil to us, there's going to have to be some extenuating circumstance there. If you and I can get yielded into the spirit of Christ, get into the spirit of intercession, you find the Lord's going to equip you with many, many things you can bring before the throne of God to pray for the most apparent hope, most hopeless cases. Because there's no real hopeless cases with the Lord. As long as there's a burden in your heart to pray for somebody, there's still mercy for that person. Because the mercy seat is in the bride. We are a reflection of the mercy seat. No, the bride is the representation of the blood on earth. You know, and the blood is not the blood of Abel that cries out for vengeance, but it's the blood of Christ that speaks better things. That's seeking mercy. You know, that you're always trying to find that something that you can take before the Lord and pray. And intercession is one of those powerful things. Why is intercession such a powerful thing? Because intercession is a perfect reflection of heaven now. Because who is Christ now? He's our great high priest. Jesus isn't, when he was in Gethsemane, he was praying for himself. You know, when he was in the upper room, John 17, he's praying for himself. Father, glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. But ever since he said it's finished, and he died, resurrected, he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, he has one ministry, and that's intercession. And that's only he never prays for himself anymore. He doesn't need to. All of the favor that he has, all of the virtue that he has, it's used to pray for you and I. When you and I were in sin and trespasses and we should have perished in our sin, it's like he said to Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. I think we don't realize just how powerful intercession is. Yeah, we don't realize how much other people's prayers make such a difference inside of our lives. Yeah. I, when I was in the world, I used to have a friend, and then he was my best friend when I was maybe about 14, 15 years old. And he left and he went to Canada. And he went and lived in Toronto. And then he wrote me a letter one day. I was still a teenage boy, and he told me, I've received the Lord. I've been touched by the hand of Christ. And I thought he had gone mad. I mean, I was not a Christian. I was just a heathen guy. Yeah, and he was my best friend, and I just cut off ties with him because I got like scared. What is this guy speaking about? And then I got saved when I was 18 years old. I went to university in South Africa, and I met a certain girl who was from our hometown. She was so happy I'd become a Christian. Yeah, and so I used to speak to her a lot. She used to encourage me a lot. One day she went down to Cape Town for a youth conference. She came back to the university the next week. She says, Andrew, you know who I met at the youth conference? I said, who? She said, I met a guy called Barry Wiesner. I said, oh, that was my best friend. She said, I met him in Cape Town. He said, the first question he asked me when he found out I was from my hometown was, tell me about Andrew Murray. And she said, let me tell you a story. And she told me the two sides of my life. The first year I was at university, when it came to Rag Day, I don't want to say much about what happened on Rag Day. I don't remember much of it. Let me just say that. But the second Rag Day, I had been come to the Lord. And we are out on the street witnessing to people. So she went and she told my friend, let me tell you what happened to him. And he was so happy. He said, tell me, when did he get saved? And she told him, at such and such a time. Yeah. And he said, that's amazing. He said, ever since the Lord saved me, I never stopped praying for him. I had a burden for him. And that's the same time that the burden left me to pray. And I said, well, a friend that the Lord gave you when you're young, and you don't realize somebody's praying for you. You know, that somebody's making intercession for you. When I was first got in the message, we were down in the church was in the Colored Township in Grahamstown, South Africa, still apartheid. Yeah, and I just got in the message, and I used to go down to the colored brothers there. And it wasn't easy. Sometimes there was tear gas around, and you know, there was a lot of problems going on. And I came back one day, and I was walking down through the university campus, and I had my tithes in my pocket. And I met the elder, the brother who used to run the house meeting in the township, Brother Les. He worked on the university campus. And I said, brother, I wanted to give you these tithes, and I gave it to him. And I was really feeling quite under pressure at that time. You know, Satan was giving me a hard time. I walked back all the way back to a hostel, the far side of the campus. As I walked up the hills, walking into the door, there just came a blessing upon me. Just the Spirit of God just came down upon me and just lifted me up. And I said, wow, what happened there? And I just felt like I could leap over a wall and I could just run and not be weary. Went to church on the Sunday, and then I spoke to Brother Les. I said, Brother Les, after I met you that other day, it was such a powerful experience I had. He said, brother, you know what happened? He says, I was so moved when you gave me those tithes. I came home. There was such a burden in my heart to pray for you. I shut myself in the room and I was praying for you. And the same time he prayed for me was the same time the Lord came and just lifted me up. There's such a power in intercession. It's a powerful, powerful thing when somebody yields themselves to the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord leads you to pray. And when you have the most power in your prayer life is when you're praying for other people. You know, because it's Christ-like. You've really broken into a Christ-like channel. Normally in prayer, we start praying for ourselves and all those things. And then after a while, the Holy Ghost starts leading us to pray according to the will of God. And you start praying for things that you never would have thought of. Yeah, and the Lord starts laying people upon your heart that you've forgotten about for years. Or you know, the people really given to prayer, the Lord wakes them up in the morning watch and lays somebody upon their heart. And they can't sleep at night. Because there's a burden upon that. We have a brother like that in church. And the Lord wakes him up regularly in the night and puts a burden on him for somebody. And he gets up and him and his wife are very much given to prayer. And they make intercession. Maybe an hour and a half, whatever, until the burden goes. Then they go back to sleep. And the testimonies that come from that. You know, it's such a Christ-like thing for somebody to yield themselves to the Spirit of God and to stand in the gap on behalf of somebody else. Yeah. No, it's so Christ-like. And Aaron was a real, real type of this. Now, he was a visible sign of mercy in the midst of the people. Now, this was God's mercy demonstrated in the midst of the people. Just like those spies in Jericho. They were an evident assurance that there was still mercy in the midst of judgment. Amen. Because they wouldn't have been there in Jericho if there wasn't mercy anymore. You know, but Joshua, the whole judgment move. You know, it's such a type of, it's the whole move of judgment. Joshua being the destroying angel. Now he comes across the Jordan. They come and encamp at Gilgal. And then they head up towards Jericho. And the hearts of people are, you know, they're troubled. Like Rahab says. And then the Lord stops the whole move. And somehow Joshua just feels, okay, guys, stop. Something's going on. Now, let's not destroy the city yet. Let's send some spies into the city first. Yeah? And he sends these two spies into the city. That was a sign of mercy. Because there were souls still crying out for mercy. Yeah. And as long as souls are still crying out for mercy, there's still mercy available to souls. And she was troubled, Rahab. She had heard about the Lord, but she didn't know how to worship the Lord. She had no way herself to come to the mercy seat. She doesn't even know that there's a mercy seat. She doesn't know how she can find peace with God. The only thing she knows is she doesn't want to die amongst these unbelievers. There's something inside of her that's seeking for grace. She knows judgment is coming. She's right in the face of judgment. Judgment's just the other side of the walls of this city. But the Lord wouldn't judge that city until he stopped the whole move and made sure that those seeking for mercy found mercy. And the moment she was under the token and her family was ministered under the token, judgment broke forth upon the people. But those two spies coming right in the midst of the city. And like Eliezer said, he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Now somehow they're just in this city. They've gone to spy. How did they meet her being a harlot? Who knows what was taking place at that time? But it's incredible when somebody avails themselves to the Lord and says, Lord, don't you have any bleating sheep out there? I know one brother that did that one day. He got up in the morning and he had listened about Sister Georgie Carter, you know, about the bleeding lamb down there caught up in the thicket, down in Milltown. And it was a few years back, and he got up in the morning and he prayed and he says, Lord, surely there's a bleating lamb out there somewhere that you could lead me to. And the Lord led him that day to bring one sister to the Lord because he had a desire, and the Lord laid upon him that desire. And he was saying, Lord, lead me. Let me be in the way. Because that's when the supernatural goes before, isn't it? You know, Eliezer, the Lord said to him, Abraham said, Eliezer, don't worry much about it. He'll send his angel before you. Amen. You know, it's the angel that does all the work. And he just had to follow in that channel. And then great things were done. And that's what Aaron did. Now, Aaron, he had exactly what the people needed. The people needed an atonement. No, the people were in the line of judgment. There was going to be judgment upon those people without mercy if time went on much longer. But Aaron had exactly what they needed. And that's the revelation that he caught. He didn't wait for the people to come to him. He didn't say, oh, well, are those people, let me wait a little bit longer. Let the Lord teach him a little bit of a lesson more because of what they've done. You know, which is the natural thing that sometimes people do. But no, he knew that he had in his possession, in his vessel, he had the only thing that could withstand the plague in that day. And we know it, the Spirit of Christ, the anointing we've received in the message of this hour, there's nothing else can stand the plagues in this day. He says the last plague is spiritual death. Look how it's striking the churches and so forth. But you have in your vessel something that can stay the plague. Something that plague is scared of will not pass over you. That plague wouldn't pass over Aaron. The power of simplicity of Christ in his bride. The word in the bride is a powerful thing. Christ in his bride is, the bride is so humble, but God so much respects his people. The death angel would not pass over Aaron to get to the people. Couldn't. Yeah, here was Aaron. And how did Aaron get himself in this condition? The prophet says, if God calls a man, he equips him. So the Lord has called this man. So under the message, Moses breaks into vision. He sees exactly how Aaron needs to be clothed. So what does he do? He puts the onyx stones on him. He's got two sets of onyx stones on his shoulders. He's got the breastplate, the 12 stones here. The precious stones are on his breastplate. Now, he's clothed in a very specific way. Moses has washed him. Moses has anointed him. And Moses has dressed him according to the calling that the Lord had given him. So what do these things signify? We know it. The onyx stones upon his shoulders. God had commissioned him to bear the burdens of the people. Yeah. And on his shoulders were stones which had the names of the tribes of Israel. So when he would go in before the Lord was saying, Aaron, I need you to bear the burdens of the people. And when you come before me, you're going to need to be a burden bearer. And what was the breastplate about? That was the 12 tribes, precious stones. They were the people upon his heart. You've got to have the people upon your heart. Don't ever lose the feelings of the people. Keep them close to your heart. Because the Lord represented each of the tribes as a precious stone. They were precious to the people. And he wanted Aaron to realized this is a precious thing that I'm bearing here. So the Lord had equipped him now, put these robes and put these garments upon him. And Aaron as a man, there was nothing that he could do in himself. Just Aaron just dressed in his normal robes, just coming for his shift, you know, coming for the course of priesthood that he had to do. There was nothing that he had inside of himself that could make a difference. But God provided him with a calling. God provided him with a commission and gave him everything that he needed to get the job done. And part of that commission was he had a censer. He had a censer inside of his hand and he had access to the altar. He had access which the people didn't have access to. And Aaron didn't use that access just for himself. Just to feel, look, I'm a really privileged guy. I can come in and out before the Lord on a regular basis. I can go to church on Wednesday. I can go to church on Friday. I can enjoy the Sunday service. There came a time now that he started to say, but no, Lord, why have you given me this access? Why have you clothed me in this kind of a way? You've given me a great privilege that you haven't given to these other people. Brother Ram says that about Job as well. He says, Job, in the message approach to God, he says, God gave Job a specific approach. And Job used that approach on behalf of his children. Now he realized, Lord, you've given me this grace to come before you. I need to use this approach wisely. Yeah, and Aaron, he caught that revelation. He says, God, you've given me a privilege. You've given me a calling. You've dressed me right. You've anointed me right. You've washed me right. I'm walking right before you. You've given me everything that's required for me to be something to help these people. And so when Moses says to him, he says, Aaron, quickly, the plague has already begun. The plague is among the people. He gets a divine impulse inside of his soul, Aaron. The prophet says it takes the love of God for someone to dash out there on the front line of the people winning souls to Christ. No, it's an impulse. It's a divine something that strikes a person. And you follow that inspiration, and every time it comes, something good happens. Because the Holy Ghost is never going to lead you somewhere that he doesn't intend to do something. Whenever he starts moving and he starts burdening your heart about something, something good is going to come from that as long as we can see it through. Now, if we can just follow him through, and Aaron, he catches that inspiration, he catches the impulse, but there's one thing that he's missing. He's clothed right. He's got everything that he needs. He's got all of the mechanics in place. You know, he's dressed right. He's got all of these things. But he needs the mechanics. Moses said to him, go to the altar. Go and get the fire from off the altar. Put it in your censer. Then take the incense and pour it upon the fire. And then run in the midst of the people. Just his censer itself wasn't going to get the job done. You and I know what it's like. Your prayers and mine in themselves are sincere, but they don't get the job done. We can pray and pray and boo-hoo and get all emotional and nothing really changes. But when we get that fire from the altar, that divine fire, where did the fire come from that ignited the brazen altar? It was the divine fire came from the presence of the Lord. This was a sacred fire. And here was where the burnt offerings would be made and the bloody sacrifice and the fat would drip down onto those bloody coals. This type's the token. Here was the real atonement for the people. And the Lord says to Aaron, Aaron, run to the altar. Go take your censer. Get a fresh experience of the token. Get the fresh fire from the altar. Put it in your vessel. Now you're equipped. Now you've got the dynamics now. Now, when the incense starts hitting that, it becomes a sweet fragrance for the Lord. Amen. And like I say, when Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know. But the Holy Ghost, he quickens us. He leads us to pray according to the will of God. When we can just yield ourselves to him. So Aaron, just like you and I, it's so very easy to get out of the spirit of redemption. You know, it's so very easy for this to become a tradition. So very easy for it to become a formality, just like with Aaron. You just go and do your duty every day. Back you go home, go and do your duty. And then there comes a certain season, a certain crisis, a certain time. And the Lord's saying, okay, Aaron, this is a different season now. I really need you to step up now. And what he had to do, he had to come back to the altar. And the prophet says, when we lose the feelings of the people, he says, we need to come back to the altar. We need to get freshened up in our experience again. Now we need something to take place. Like Isaiah, when he was in the temple, he's written 5 chapters already. Not that he's not a prophet, but he's just not hitting where the potential of where he could be as a prophet. His eyes are too much upon King Uzziah. You know, he's having too much of a comfortable life. The Lord has to smite King Uzziah. And then in the year when Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted up. And now he has a fresh experience, Isaiah. He goes to the temple this time and he sees the Lord lifted up. And he sees his train filling the temple. And though he's a prophet, he says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That was confession first from the influence message. And as soon as he was willing to confess, but Lord, I haven't been saying things that I should. You've called me. I should be speaking your word. And I should be more than I am. Lord, forgive me. You find the seraph did what? It went straight to the brazen altar. And it took a fresh coal from off the brazen altar. And it came and it touched Isaiah's lips. Here came the cleansing and says, your sin is taken away. And then came his commission. Now there was no more condemnation. Now he's had a fresh experience in the presence of the Lord. And every single one of us, every time you really come before the Lord and the Lord visits you, you want to do something for him. It's just a natural response to his goodness to you. Lord, I want to do something for you. So the moment he has this experience now of the fresh coal of fire, the voice comes. Who will I send and who will go for us? And he has this, Lord, Jeremiah, send me. And you see what came from Isaiah after he became the prince of the prophets. Now came Isaiah 7 verse 14, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And now comes Isaiah 9 verse 6, unto us a son is born. And here comes Isaiah 53, I mean the great chapters of the Messiah, the millennium, Isaiah 65, 66, new heavens and new earth. He hit just another level in his calling. He had been walking well, but he needed a fresh experience. Amen. Now he needed a fresh something from off the altar. Amen. To come and touch his lips once again. And then there was a divine something struck him, and now he becomes what he's supposed to be. To me, this is Aaron's adoption. Now he's been the high priest, he's done a lot of good things before this, but this is when he really becomes what he was supposed to become. Amen. It's like the Lord is saying, Aaron, you were born for such a time as this. This is the very reason I've clothed you and done everything that I can for you was exactly for this season. Now step into your calling. Now think of him running out into the midst of the people. That was dangerous. Going right there. There's the death angel. Yeah, going down, slaughtering the people. Aaron looks among the people and he just sees, you know, where the thickness of the multitude of people writhing and struggling and death is sweeping down. And he runs into the thickest of the battle, into the worst place. He goes to the very place that is needed the most. He doesn't look for the easy place to go. He says, where am I needed? What has the Lord called me to do? And he goes and goes between the death angel and the people. I asked myself one day, I said, hey, this is very uncharacteristic of Aaron, but it's very powerful what he did. I think one of the reasons that he did this was because he had so much let the people down before. Now, one of the most powerful stimuli, whatever you call it, stimuluses inside of our lives, is our past failures. Aaron had made a golden calf and people had perished because of what Aaron had done before. And the only reason Aaron was still alive and the only reason he was still the high priest was what? Was Moses went and interceded for him. The Lord is going to smite Aaron. And it says Moses interceded for Aaron and the Lord forgave him. So he had been a recipient of somebody else's intercession. He knew what grace was when he didn't deserve it. Somebody went and prayed down grace inside of his life. And maybe he looked down and he said, Lord, I let your people down before. And God is the God of the second chance. Amen. No. He's the God of redemption. He's the God of I will restore, says the Lord. And when he sees that desire inside of your heart, because you messed it up before, and he's saying, Lord, I messed it up before. Surely help me in some way to make up for what I did. The Lord opens up and says, Aaron, now's your opportunity. And he runs into the midst of the people. The Lord is very wise in what he does. You know, he doesn't call Paul on the Damascus Road before he persecutes the Christians. He doesn't do that. He allows Paul to persecute the Christians, throw them into prison. Yeah. He's cruel. I mean, he scatters the church, Paul. And then the Lord comes and meets Paul. And you say, why? Why do you think Paul went to the measures that he did? Because Paul knew what he had done to the church. That's how when the Corinthians will give him a hard time and when they stone him in Troas, the next chapter he's back in Troas preaching once again. He's trying to make up for what he did. Now, whenever he's starting to think, but look, my persecutions and the things I go through is far more than the rest of the apostles. He starts thinking to himself, yeah, but look what you did to the church. Look what you did to the body of Christ. Yeah, and that's a powerful stimulus in the life of a person. The prophet did that as well. If you read those early messages, early 1950s, late 1940s, when he speaks about Mishawaka, he said, when I went to Mishawaka, the Lord was calling me among those Pentecostal people. He said, if I'd have listened to the Lord then, he says, perhaps the angel would have come to me sooner. He says, and there would be many more people in glory now. He says, the gift would have come to me. He says, but because I listened to my mother-in-law, he says, that's why I go about working night and day. I'm trying to make up for that lost time. I think sometimes that's why the Lord allows us all to fall on our face and let him down and make the mistakes that we do. Because the school of failure is a required course in this divine curriculum of your life. Because you learn more from your failure than you do from your successes. And those failings leave an imprint inside of there. And when the goodness of the Lord comes back to you to give you another chance, now you're going to have the power of perseverance now. You're not going to worry very much about the disappointments and the sacrifices you need to make because he's given you another chance. And I think there you find that with Aaron. God gave him another chance. And this time Aaron said, I'm not going to waste this opportunity. Now's, like it says, cometh the hour cometh the man. Yeah, he was just the right man for the hour. The prophet speaks about the token. Because that's what Aaron had. When he went and he stood between death, the living and the dead. That death angel didn't fear Aaron. What did he fear? He feared that atonement. That token in his vessel was the thing that angel feared. Aaron had supreme authority. That atonement, the token gives you supreme authority. The prophet speaks of that little policeman there in Louisville. He puts his cap on and it covers his eyes and it flaps over his ears. He says he puts on his jacket, the smallest one they have, and it's too big for him. He says, and he goes and he stands out there in Main Street, Louisville, and those big, serious trucks and cars and Cadillacs coming down. He says, that guy doesn't have power to stop a pony. He says, but he's got authority. He says, when he's got the badge of the office and he's dressed as a policeman and he stands there, puts on his white glove and he stands in the midst of the street. He says, those brakes go to squealing now. Because it's got all the power of the city behind it. And if you've got the blood of Christ in you, if you're redeemed, you have supreme authority inside of you. And he can quicken you to stand between the living and the dead. And death cannot pass over you. Yeah, because of the token that's inside of you. That death angel couldn't pass the blood on the door. It couldn't. To those who believed what Moses had said, received that revelation and applied the token to their households. They had supreme authority. The prophet says, there's a young man, young boy, and there's this cries and the shrieks going on in the city. Because every single household in Egypt lost at least one person. Sometimes two. Sometimes the father was the firstborn, and his firstborn son would die. Imagine what was going on. And this death angel is coming down. The darkness is coming down the streets. And that young man goes to his dad and says, Dad, are you sure the blood's on the door? Because I'm your firstborn. Yeah. And he says, take it easy, son. Let off the pressure. We've applied the token. Come and see. And the blood was fresh. And as long as the blood was fresh, the death angel couldn't pass that blood. Amen. That is the authority of Christ in a believer. And the prophet says it in that message. He says, when that devil comes with that sickness, you don't have power against sickness, but if you can show him the badge of a believer, Amen. Like that policeman shows that badge of authority, that stops death in its tracks. That stops that pale horse in his tracks. The plagues of this age and all this iniquity that's taking place. You pack inside of your vessel, like Aaron packed inside of his vessel, something that is omnipotent against the devil in your age. Remember that one of the Mamba and Paradox, and everybody was scared because there was something so deadly in this age. And there was the Mamba trying to strike that brother. And then the anointing came down. The prophet started to pray and said, Lord, please help that brother. And the anointing came on him and says, you've been given power against this, the worst in all. And so what am I supposed to do? He says, all you need is greater sincerity. Just be more sincere. You have the power inside of you. And the prophet put up his hands and said, Lord, forgive me for my insincerity. Give me sincerity. And that super anointing came upon him. And then he spoke and he says, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And that's something, that mamba that the whole world was fearing, that was death. Just in the power of that anointed authority that he had, it became crystal, it became dead, and the life came out like a smoke. And the voice said, you've been given power to bind this and all. And that's exactly scriptural, because Jesus said, I give unto you authority. I give you power over snakes and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise overcome you. But sometimes we all like that. We forget who we are as believers. That's what Aaron was. He needed to get back as close as he could into the Shekinah, get freshened up, get a fresh coal from off the altar, make sure that he had his uniform on well. And now nothing was going to stop him. And nothing could stop him because he had a divine commission. And he ran into the midst of the people and he stood between the living and the dead with a divine commission. And just, I will just look at it in my mind's eye. It's like you see the pale horse in our age. Yeah, and his name is called death. And hell follows him. And that's what you see here. The first one to discern death in the age, it was Moses. The prophet says in the seals, it was the eagle, fourth seal, that called him death. None of the other ages called him death. But it was the eagle that called him death. So the prophet, he catches it first. There's death in this age. Be careful. And then Aaron now, he tunes into the same frequency. He comes up higher, breaks into the channel now himself through revelation. And now he's got a fresh revelation. He's got a fresh experience at the altar. It doesn't matter whether there's death in the land. He becomes the dividing line between life and death. Wherever Aaron stood, the people were perishing in front of him, writhing and groaning and dying. He stood there with the censer in his hand. Yeah? And he used his authority in some way. When that death angel is coming and so fierce and so scary, you know, the darkness, the gross darkness that's coming, he stands there. He's anointed. He's not afraid of that death in his age. He's not afraid. That speaks of intercession. That speaks of standing in the gap. That speaks of the crisis in your family, the crisis in your life. That speaks about certain seasons and times and situations where you just need to get yourself freshly back to the altar to meet the challenge in your home, to meet the challenge in your relatives or whatever it is that's going along. Because death is starting to creep in. What does he say? He says, the problem comes in these days because the blood is getting off the door. Yeah? And once the blood gets off the door, yay! That death angel has the authority, but once the blood is fresh, once the atonement is there in reality, that is a great, great, great thing of authority. And Aaron had the token in his vessel. That's why he says in the token message, he says, when your daughter's going astray, he says, don't just go and speak to her. He says, first, get the anointing upon you. Yeah? He says, go with the anointing upon you. Because the token requires an atmosphere to manifest himself. Go with the anointing upon you. Go and apply the token now, and he will get the job done. Amen. That's what makes the difference. Yeah, Aaron could have gone just with his garments, but until he had the fire in his vessel, it wasn't going to do him much good. Yeah. But the moment he went and he applied the token, and there was that reality of something now in his witness, that is what made all of the difference. And the prophet, he says that. He says, that is what. They will fall into line under that token. Because atmosphere is such a powerful thing. People can accept almost anything when the atmosphere is right. But when the atmosphere is not right, it does more harm than good. The absolute truth that you say to somebody makes things worse. He says what? He says God has got to be working on both sides. Yeah. So we're trying to push something upon somebody. The best thing, one person came to minister years back, and she came and said, look, I've tried speaking to my husband, and I've spoken to my husband. He doesn't want to come to church. And the minister said, it's very, very easy, lady. He says, it's time for you to stop speaking to your husband about God and start speaking to God about your husband. There just comes a time where you got to you go and speak to him. And he creates the atmosphere, and God starts working on the other side. And when two omnipotents come together, when God is working on both hands, unbelievable things take place. We all know that. You try to testify to somebody, and it's not the season. The Holy Ghost isn't working upon them. God hasn't prepared the ground. It's a futile exercise. But when the Lord has prepared the heart of a person like Rahab, like the Ethiopian eunuch, and you are just find the grace before God to be the right person at the right place at the right time. Look how things just work. Things just open up. You might think, I can never testify to anybody. Now, some people are shy. You'll be surprised what the Lord can do through you. If you just yield yourself to him and look for an opportunity. Because when God is in the program, it's very easy. Now, when the anointing is there, tremendous things can be done. And Aaron could sense that. He knew, hey, this anointing that's upon me, I haven't felt this for a long time. And he ran into the midst of the people, and God did a great thing through him. Now, intercession is quite a thing to think about. I think intercession is the missing ministry many, many times. Amen. Well, I remember we spoke about it at the men's meeting. It's so much easier to be a prophet to people. It's so much easier to preach to your family than it is to pray for your family. Yeah. You know, there's something very spiritual about prayer. Yeah, there's something very, very spiritual. You've got to wage warfare in heavenly places to get something done in prayer. You know, because there's a resistance. The prophet says that before they become a revival, you've got to break through that atmosphere many, many times. You know, so someone's got to wrestle in heavenly places to break that powers and principalities. You know, you look at Daniel, how he needed that in his age, 21 days. The prince of Persia withstood Gabriel. Yeah. God was going to answer the prayer, but there was warfare in heavenly places until Michael had to come on the scene and clear the way, spiritually speaking, and then God could come and answer his prayer. The greatest example that I ever read of intercession was if you read the life of Charles Finney. Charles Finney used to travel around with, the prophet speaks about Father Nash. His name was Daniel Nash. Daniel Nash was a failed minister. And he had tried to preach and he wasn't successful. He just offended his church and he got, I think, deselected, whatever they did in those days as a pastor. And he got cold with the Lord. And Charles Finney came around preaching the revival at that time. And there was Daniel Nash in the backslidden minister, cold before the Lord. And when Finney was praying, Nash would keep his eyes open. And God smote his eyes. And he had a problem with his eyes that he had to get shut in his house and close the curtains. I don't know how many weeks or months that it was. It was a big portion of time. And while he was there, Nash, just shut in, he got himself right with God. And now there was nothing that he could do. He couldn't leave his home. And for the first time in his life, he started to pray. And he got into the channel of intercession. He really got into intercessory prayer. And when he came out from that affliction, he had a prayer ministry. That was his ministry. And wherever Charles Finney would go, before Finney would go to a certain town, he had sent Daniel Nash first. Sometimes a week, sometimes 2 weeks before. And Daniel Nash would go and get into a town and try to look up the praying people, the people that were given to pray. And he'd go and rent a cheap place, like a basement or something really cheap. And he'd go, him and the praying people would get together and lay on their faces in the basement and make intercession. And one day Finney got to town and this lady at a boarding house came and said, please, that friend of yours, Nash, there's something wrong with the man. You better come and see. You better call a doctor. And Finney got there and it was the burden of the Lord was upon Daniel Nash. And Daniel Nash was crying out almost like in birth pains before the Lord. He had such a burden for the people and he couldn't get rid of that burden. And he was crying out and groaning before the Lord. And Finney said, no, it's just the burden of the Lord is upon the man. And Daniel Nash would go around in the community, and he was so sensitive now to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And then he would try to find out about the worst cases in the city. You know, that like the barkeeper was an infidel in one place. He was the great one who broke up all of the meetings normally when the Christians would gather. And Daniel Nash had a prayer list. And when he put your name on the prayer list, you were in trouble. They said there were very few people that Daniel Nash put on the prayer list that didn't come to the Lord, because the Lord burdened him for those people. And now he had gone shut himself in now in the closet. And he'd go and wrestle and make intercession before the Lord. So Finney comes into the one place, first night of the meeting, all of the people have gathered. One person they fear is that person that Daniel Nash is praying for, which is the tavern keeper, because he's a rough guy. The man comes walking into the meeting, sits down at the back. Finney starts preaching. That man was the first one to the altar. After that, the meetings were held in the bar. The bar became the church. They emptied all the alcohol. I said, come and have the meeting in my place. That is the power of intercession. Amen. You know, because intercession is winning the battle before the battle begins. No, it's somebody who's burdened. The prophet says, and says, let me show you the secret of the success of these meetings. And he opened the curtain and he says, look at these, Leo and all of them on their faces before the Lord. He says, I don't have the power for these meetings. If it wasn't for these brethren praying for me, I'd go down. And I think it was 7 years that Finney and Nash traveled together. And if you go and read the life story of Finney, it's a powerful, powerful thing, that revival. How the Holy Ghost would fall upon the meetings, and how, you know, just so many people would be saved. And the prophet says Finney was the prince of the evangelists. He says, because at least 90% of his converts stayed true to the Lord. He says, Wesley, it was maybe 20%. He said, Moody, maybe 40%. But Finney took the people deep enough in God. Because when Finney would preach, there was such an atmosphere. But Finney himself said, it's not me, it's Nash. He's the one who wins the battle. And the moment Nash died, 7 years later, within a few months, Finney went off the field. He just said, it's not the same anymore. No, the meetings aren't the same. That is the power of prayer. Now there's many gifts in the body. Yeah, you may not have a gift of preaching. You may not have a gift of evangelism. But you can be the greatest blessing to the church by just getting into the spirit of intercession. You may be, that's a serious high calling. It's not a glamorous ministry. It's not one that in this life you're going to get much reward for. But in the world to come, you're going to get a great reward. Because it's such a Christ-like ministry. You're not putting yourself before the public, but you're putting yourself before the Lord. Because the priesthood stands between God and the people, speaks on behalf of the sinful people. That's what the priest does. He goes in before the Lord on behalf of the sinful people. He goes with the fire in his sense and the atonement in his sense. Goes and makes sacrifice on behalf of the people. And because of his ministry, the Lord continues to deal with the people. It's a ministry that, wow, it's so precious when you find people like that. Like Finney did with Nash. There was a man who went to London in the days of Spurgeon. And he went to the tabernacle. I've been there once. And these Americans came, a whole group of them came across, and they wanted to go and see the Spurgeon's tabernacle. So they came to the door, they met this man, and they said, hey, look, we've come here, we wanted to hear about this church and so forth. And the man said to them, let me show you where the power of this church is. And he took them downstairs, and under the church there was a basement, a big basement. And there were about 400 people laying on their faces in prayer. Yeah, just as the service was beginning, 400 people. And the man said to those Americans, he says, this is the boiler room of the church. This is where the power comes from. So he took them upstairs, told the ushers to seat them. He went to preach later on. They found that was Spurgeon himself. And he was showing them where the power of the church was. The power was in the boiler room. That's where the steam and the energy comes from. You know, the engine's good, but unless you have the boiler room to generate the steam, unless there's something, everything else starts to move once there's power in the boiler room. All the rest of the equipment, all the rest of the things that take place, that's where the power really comes from. So I would really encourage, there's certain people that are given to prayer. Never despise that calling. That is a high calling in Christ. This is one of the highest, it's such a Christ-like calling. You are so in tune with Christ himself. Because that's his ministry now. He's got the ministry of intercession. And whenever people get in the Spirit, what happens? Every revival becomes a revival of intercession. Now people start making intercession for the lost and intercession for the community. The prophet speaks of it in the message once again. In the days of Finney, there was a man dying with tuberculosis. Yeah, he was a Christian man and he was lying on his bed, consumption, whatever they called it those days. He couldn't leave his room. He couldn't leave his bed. He was dying. But he could do one thing, he could pray. And every single day he started to pray for revival. And then he had written in his diary. He says, today the Lord gave me the spirit of faith to pray for revival in Rochester. I think that was the town that he was in. And then a few days later, he's been praying somewhere. He says, today the Lord gave me the spirit of prayer to pray for revival in whatever the name of the town was. And the man prayed and prayed and prayed. And Finney says, the man died in prayer. He got such a spirit of prayer upon him that he prayed and he died in his prayer while he was praying. And when he died now, a few months later, Charles Finney came into that neighborhood and he started in Rochester. And the revival started. He went to the next town. And the brother says it as well. Finney says, that man's widow came to me after all of the revival had swept that county and gave me that man's journal, his diary. And the revival had broken out in almost exactly the same order that man had prayed. And he said, and the final place he prayed for was revival in India. And soon we heard there was a revival broke out in India. My, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear. The secret of the Lord. When the Lord came down in Genesis 18, a type of our age, what did he come down for? Because it was the days of Lot. He was going to judge Sodom. But he came down and laid the burden upon Abraham. It's like he was saying, Abraham, I'm going to have to judge. You better speak to me about this. Because you've got your relatives down there. And they're totally and blissfully unaware that they're going to die tomorrow in the morning. The next morning, sunrise, fire and brimstone was going to fall from heaven. But God in his mercy came to his friend Abraham. And he spoke to Abraham and says, Abraham, the cry of Sodom has come before me and I've come down to see what it's like. And if it's like I've heard, and he left it like that. And the Bible says, Abraham stood before the Lord. That's intercession. Amen. And he started saying, surely the judge of all the earth will do right. Surely if there's 50 righteous people in the city, you won't judge. And the Lord said, I'll never judge if there's 50. Surely if there's 40, and he makes intercession like that. And the Bible then says, and Abraham drew near. He actually had to draw near. And then finally the presence of the Lord left. And what happens? You might think, Lot, Mrs. Lot and that. Through the power of Abraham's prayer, angels went to that man's house. Abraham prayed the supernatural into the house of Lot. Two angels went. Those angels went right into Lot's house. And went and told him, you better get out of the city because you're in the line of judgment. Yeah. And it says that Lot lingered. He didn't take it seriously. And his wife, go and read the scripture. It says the angels took them by the hand. You can pray a supernatural touch upon the life of a person. The prayers of Abraham brought the supernatural. And the supernatural touched Lot's wife. And the supernatural took her out of the city. But there comes a point you've got to do some of it yourself. For her to get into the city of refuge, she had to make the decision herself. But she was delivered from the judgment by the prayers of Abraham. The scripture says that when the Lord rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom. Yeah? And so then the Lord remembered Abraham and he delivered Lot. You might say, but it's a denominational person. That's what Lot is. Not everybody's the same before the Lord. You know, there's the $1 coins and there's the 50 cents like the prophet says. But every soul is valuable before the Lord. There's a whosoever will, let him come. And Abraham, in that season of investigating judgment, where the judge of the earth himself came down. You know, the symbol of the cloud, the supreme authority came down himself. There was still mercy. And in that season, the Lord was speaking to Abraham, saying, Abraham, you have the token. You have the authority. You have the power. You can pray these people out of the line of judgment. You can pray deliverance for the captives. And Abraham got into the spirit of Christ. That was Christ in Abraham, making intercession for the people. It's like when Moses came down from the mountain and the people had sinned against God. Moses felt it inside of his soul while he was still freshly anointed of the Lord. While he was in the spirit of Christ, he went back up into the holy mount. And he says, Lord, please pardon these people. Yeah? And he threw himself in the gap and he said, Lord, if you're going to blot their names out of the book, rather blot my name out of the book. And the prophet says, I could never understand how Moses could give God a better idea until in the revelation of the word I realized that was Christ in Moses. Amen. And it's Christ in you. Amen. And it's Christ inside of me. Amen. I'll finish with this. The prophet was sitting in his office and he has all of these private interviews with people and he gets to the end and he comes out and there's Billy Paul and he says, Paul, are there any more? And Billy Paul says, yes, Daddy, there's still one. He said, but I thought you told me it's the last. I'm so tired. And Billy Paul says, Daddy, it's me. He says, what's wrong? And there was a breach in the home. Here was Billy Paul not doing well with his wife. And the prophet, if you read in the Generations book, the prophet answered him so simple. He said, Paul, when you will allow that Holy Ghost that is in you to express himself, you won't have these problems. You see, he had the resources, he had the atonement, he had the answer inside of himself, but his human nature was getting in the way. There was too much of himself in the way. But the great one who always stands in the gap, the great one who always brings intercession, if Billy Paul could just allow him to express himself, if he could just get to the altar and get a fresh quickening of the fire, put some fresh incense on, then start praying about the situation, get the atmosphere right and let the Holy Ghost start to work in that situation, he says, you won't have these problems that you're having. Amen. So I would really say, saints, as we finish up the service, let's never neglect this. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Amen. Prayer is such an important thing. Prayer makes all of the difference. You go and see all, you know all the things the prophet says about prayer. But especially those people that are given to prayer. May the Lord richly stir up the gift that is within you, like Timothy said. Because it's one of the greatest things. We have some saints who pray every second Friday. They stay overnight at church and they pray. And when you go to church on a Sunday and the saints have been praying, there's a tangible difference in the service than there is when the saints haven't been praying. Because God is so faithful to answer prayer. And when Job prayed for his friends, what happened? The Lord healed Job. Don't focus on your problems too much. You go and get in the spirit of intercession. Be led of the Lord to pray for other people. And while you interceding for other people, God's going to take care of your business. And you'll find it's one of the greatest blessings that we can lay ourselves upon the altar, get a fresh quickening in our experience, and follow that leadership of the Holy Ghost. The things that he can do are wonderful. So God bless you, saints. Let's stand. Let's finish in a word of prayer. I'm sure you're like me. You just want to say, Lord, here am I. Lord, I just make myself available to you. Lord, there's such needs. There's sickness, Lord. And there's people gone astray. Lord, there's gross darkness upon the people. But Lord, here am I. Lord, just quicken me once again. Lord, just lead me back to that place and just help me to follow your leadership, Lord. And use me, Lord. Lord, if you can use anybody, use me. Lord, I make myself available to you. I lay myself upon the altar today. Be glorified, Lord. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If you have a need, why not raise your hand before the Lord as we close in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for he that stood in the gap for us. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that, Father, your grace is such a wonderful thing. And, Lord, we just want to come and present ourselves to you upon this day and say, here we are, Lord. Father, come and touch our lips afresh with a coal from off the altar, Lord. Come and quicken us, Lord. Come and clothe us afresh with the garments of salvation is our desire. Come and lead us and guide us, Lord. What a blessed thing that it is to be led and guided of thee. And Father, we see the day that we're living. We see the conditions of this age. here we are, Lord, as your people. May you bless your people. May you touch your people afresh. May you lead us and guide us, Lord. Father, may you continue, Lord Jesus, your great work. Father, for that is our prayer. Bless each and every hand that is raised, Lord. You see the needs of your people. Where there's sickness, we ask of you that you administer of your grace, Lord. Father, where there's people, Lord, that have financial needs, meet their needs, we pray. Where there's people, Lord, in the valley of decision, Lord, Father, show them the way. Let them hear the voice behind them saying, this is the way that you should go. And turn them in the right direction, Lord. And Father, I do pray for Brother Barry. I pray for the ministry in this place. What a blessing, Lord, it's been to be here, Lord. We so thank you for this season. Bless the song leaders. Bless the officers. Bless the Sunday school teachers, Lord. Bless the musicians. Father, bless all of the helps, all of the administrations in this place. Father, those Sunday school teachers, Lord, use them for your glory, Lord, we pray. And Father, continue to use this place as a lighthouse, that Father, your light may go forth in the midst of darkness, we pray. And Father, we will give you all of the glory. So that is our desire and prayer. And Father, there's somebody who doesn't know you here. Today, the best thing we can do is pray for them, that Lord, you will deal with their heart, that you will move upon them, Lord, that Father, you will bring them to yourself. We commit them into your hands. Our relatives that don't believe, our family members that don't believe, we bring them before thee upon this day. And we ask you to remember them at this time, Lord. And Father, we'll give you the glory because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, saints, Brother Barry. Amen.
I love you, Lord.
Oh,
your mercy ever fills me all my days. I've been held in your grace from the moment that I wake up till I lay my head. I will running after me.
I don't want anyone to leave here without having an opportunity. If you would like to come and just have prayer tonight, I'd like to just make that available for you. Brother Andrew's still here. There's just such a residual presence of these meetings, and I just don't want anybody to leave and say, I would love to have come and just had a word of prayer with Brother Andrew. So if you feel that on your heart tonight, make your way to the front. We'd be glad to pray with you tonight. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my day I've been held in your hand. The moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will see of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice.
I love your
voice. You have led me through the fire in my darkest days. You have been like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Goodness is running after me.
Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. Give you everything. Yes. Your goodness is running after, running after.
Your goodness is running out, running after me.
Your goodness is running
after, running after me.
With my life laid down, I surrender now. Give you everything. Your goodness is running after, after me.
All my life.
All my life you have been faithful.
All of my life.
And all my life you have
been faithful. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life.
Oh, just be sincere in church. Worship Him tonight.
All my life.
When I found that joy, when I found the joy of reaching your heart. And when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Oh, and I worship you. I live is to worship you. Then I worship stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. Be it unto me according to your word. I can stay secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. Yes, according to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. Sing it again. I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. Oh, according to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. Yes, now be it unto me. According to your word. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing a holy, I want to see.
high lifted up, church. Oh, shine in. Pour out your power now. As we
lift you up, Lord. You are worthy now. Once again we exalt Him.
Desire and I long to worship. can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone does my spirit heal. And you alone are my heart's desire and I.
I believe we have a lot of things we can take home with us. I believe we have a lot of things that we can apply. One of the things I'm going to take home with me is this. You'll never win battles when you're on the defensive. And you're on the back foot. You're not taking the enemy on. You're defending yourself. Let me tell you, we are a people who should not be afraid. We are a people who should not be worried about whether that's more powerful than us, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Get off the back foot, let's get on the front foot, and let's run into battle like David did. Battles are a part of our life, but I will tell you, I have just an increasing confidence that God placed us here. He knew we'd be here. He knew what the conditions would be like. He knew the circumstances you're facing in your life, and he's equipped us and made us more than able, and I'm thankful for that.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified.
Father, we thank you for this time we've had in your presence this weekend, Lord. I thank you, oh God, for answering prayer and speaking to so many specific situations in ways that you sovereignly led our brother Andrew, Lord, down a path that has spoken to hearts, Lord, and spoken to my heart and ministered peace and strength and increasing faith. And I pray, dear God, that you would just allow us to be able to take these things home, that we might apply them and that we might live them, Lord, and think thoughts of victory and think thoughts of rapture and thoughts of eternity, Lord. And may our hearts be turned to you. Father, may we live on the offensive instead of the defensive, Lord, because we do believe you've got it all under control. We believe, Lord Jesus, that you are the one who knows the end from the beginning, Lord. And you saw this bride at the very end, victorious and leaning upon you. Lord Jesus, now we just commit the people into your hands. And Lord, the many folks that are listening, the many folks that are needy and need a touch from you, Lord, bring healing to those that are praying. Bring comfort to those who mourn. And Father God, we'll give you the glory and the praise and the honor. And thank you, Lord, for the Easter promise of resurrection. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we love you with all of our heart. And I pray, dear God, especially now for Brother Andrew, that you would just fill him, Lord, completely full. And all he's given, Lord, may you multiply to give it back to him. Bless his wife and family, Lord, and may you bring him home safely and reunite him with his assembly again. We commit him into your hands, Lord. And I pray, dear God, you dismiss us with your blessing and your presence in Jesus' wonderful name and for your glory. Amen. And amen. And all God's people said, amen. Brother Andrew, thank you. God bless you. Godspeed. And we just appreciate you coming and making the effort to be here and taking time from your own assembly. And just trust that the Lord will get you back safely again. To come again. Amen. I'd like to sing an old song of the church. The tomb now is empty. The stone's been rolled away and Christ is alive in my heart. I'd like to dismiss our service this weekend on that note because that's the truth. It's just true. And I love those songs that are true. Let's sing it tonight.
The tomb now is empty. The stone's been rolled away. And Christ is alive in my heart.
And death which is conquered.
And death which is conquered in me has no part, for Christ is alive in my heart.
Sing it again now.
Oh, the tomb now is empty. The stone's been rolled away. And Christ is alive in my heart. And death which is conquered in me has no part.
Christ is alive in my heart.
Praise the Lord. How many believe that's true? Amen. We're going to let you go with this song here. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. May God bless your week. May God allow these words this weekend to fall in your heart like seeds and grow into great trees that bring forth great fruit. God bless you as you go tonight. God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. God is good. Yes, God is good all the time. Oh, if you're walking through the street, there are shadows. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, yes, his word is good. God.